All right, have a seat. We're going to get going today. That is a very serious question, and it leads right into what we want to talk about today with Jesus being the everlasting Father. You see, when we look at this text in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the word Father is not gender-related. It's role-related. So the first thing I need you to do this morning is kind of come away from maybe the perception you have of earthly fathers and come more to what is the role of a father or the role of a heavenly parent. We do have an opportunity, friends, to help our children understand Kathy's story now, before tragedy strikes, before the chaos of what we live in here in our current world, before our children ask, what does all this mean? We have the opportunity to lay the foundation for them to interpret their life and reality through the truth of Holy Scripture. And I will unabashedly ask that you get involved. And I will specifically ask that if you're my age or older, grandparents, your role is not done. Retirement is not in Holy Scripture. Doesn't exist. Sorry. It actually means that you're not working full-time, so you have more time to invest in the kingdom of heaven. That's what I think it means. And so I need you, particularly those of you 55 and older, to go out and say, I want to invest in a child's life. Now, I know some of you are saying, Jim, if children model their life after me, it could be a disaster. It's okay. We'll put someone with you, all right? We'll give you a partner. We don't want you doing something you're not good at. I'll be honest with you. So we'll put you on a team and make sure that you have someone with you that can help bring out the best in who you are. Now, men, let me talk to you just a minute. We've had two experiences here at church, and this relates right into what I want to teach, so hang in there with me. We had a car stolen out of our parking lot on Tuesday. Yep, right out of our church parking lot during a leadership meeting. So it was actually one of our lead elders. So there you go. You know, you got to lead, you got to lead. But, you know, it was someone who's been hanging around here a couple of years. It's someone we know. We could actually give the name to the police officer. It's actually someone that our staff has built a relationship with, and one of our staff members in particular tried to help him get his driver's license back. That's kind of the irony, that he stole the car and we were trying to help him get his license. He has made a multitude of mistakes in his life. What he hasn't had is an everlasting father or the representation of an everlasting father in his life on a day-to-day basis. You see, we'll learn today that what we have in this everlasting father in Isaiah is we have a pathfinder and a pace setter. This is what Jesus does in our life. Without these two influences in our life at a deep, relational, spiritual, soul level, people lose their way. The earlier we impact them, the data's really clear, the better their chance of finding the right path and going the right speed. This individual, unfortunately, made the decision, probably because when he was young, he did not have this influence in his life. He made the wrong decision on Tuesday night and decided to take something that wasn't his. I pray that he spends some time incarcerated because he needs that time to sit and reflect and hear the gospel. And I'm afraid that if he's not, something will happen and his life will be taken. I hope he has an opportunity to encounter maybe some people who can be the image of the everlasting Father. And then also this week we had our Kids Hope USA Christmas party. I mean, what a deal. The kids got a snow day one day and a pizza party the next. I want to go back to being 8 years old again. But, you know, that was just a time where all of these children, I mean, the gathering place was just a buzz, and so many of you volunteered, thank you, and you were there being the everlasting father to these children. But to see the looks on these kids' faces, you know, a little bit of pizza, and some of them actually ate salad. I was thoroughly impressed, but they really loved the sprinkles on the ice cream. And then, you know, just decorating Christmas cookies with the person that every week goes to them and loves them, and reads with them, and talks to them, and is a consistent pathfinder and pace setter.
the image of God, the manifestation with Jesus, the incarnation of the Christ child to them. Their chance of growing up and making the right decisions is incredibly higher because some of you have chosen to be the manifestation of joy and hope in their life on a regular basis. I think one of the primary messages of Christmas is the understanding of how the gospel is so preventative of the hard things in life. Because Jesus has come to insert himself with all grace and hope into the very basis of our decision-making process, that we decide to follow the path of Jesus at the pace of Jesus. That's going to require, friends, that those of us who know Jesus and have walked with Jesus come alongside of those who haven't and need to. And the younger, the better. You see, what's happening here in Isaiah 9, again, Israel's missed it. Israel's way off the mark. And God is actually using, if you read Isaiah 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you'll see that God is using Israel's neighbors to discipline them. You see, he came to Israel in the very beginning, and he said, I want a people. I want a group of people that will bear my name. And his purpose was is that the Israelites would bear his name and reflect his character. They were to be the heralds of God the Father. They were to be the image of what it meant to walk with a Father, a heavenly Father. They were to be the ones that were supposed to reflect the character of God, but they missed it, and they decided that they were in an entitled group, that they had this chosen moniker. And because of that, they became prideful and disobedient. And Isaiah comes to them and he says, this is what's happening and here's why. And then there are these spots in chapter 9, chapter 11, elsewhere throughout the prophecy where he understands, brings an understanding of this Christ child, the branch that will come out of Jesse's stump, the one who's going to come in a new way, in a new direction, bring about a new people of God. You see, the word father here, an everlasting father, it means decider, forbearer, one who begins something new. So all of us here in our human context, who are fathers, we're kind of the next generation of something. We kind of have our own families, right? We do have a DNA. We do come from groups of people that are before us. But with every generation, with every new father, there's an opportunity to become more holy. But unfortunately, sometimes that opportunity is taken to become less holy. But fathers here, in an earthly sense, and in this sense, it's a gender issue, we are deciders. We set a pace. We develop a path. But here in the context of Isaiah, when the prophet says, this child that will be born, the one who will put the government on his shoulders. Now, again, you have to resist kind of our human current understanding of government. He's not talking about Washington, D.C. He's not talking about Moscow. He's not talking about Amsterdam. He's talking about global leadership, or one who conducts a sense of direction. The kingdom here that he's talking about is cosmic. It's just not earthly. It's in totality of all creation. And the prophet says there's one coming who will put his arms around all that is and will take it in a particular direction. And right at the end of verse 6, we see that it's the zeal of the Lord that will make this happen. Very important part of this passage. It's not human endeavors. It's not human energy. It's not human intellect. It's nothing that we conjure up that's going to bring Jesus here, bring salvation to the masses, create the church that can be the herald of what Jesus is doing. It's not us. It is the zeal of the Lord. Really interesting word. It means power and passion. There's an element of jealousy in there, that God is very jealous for you. You are his kids if you know Jesus, and he wants you to do the right thing so that you may have the most joy. Just holding on to truth doesn't complete our joy. sharing the truth completes our joy.
I'm very thankful for my wife in a multitude of ways. Multitude of ways. One of the reasons I'm very thankful for her is this whole gift buying and giving thing. Christmas morning is very exciting for me because not only am I surprised about the gifts that I get, I'm very surprised about the gifts that I give. It's like, hurry and open that so I can see what I got you. And Kathy, she's just wonderful. She's able to pick out gifts that are, you know, very unique and very special, and people actually need them. And she's very frugal and very thankful for that. And you know, for her, gift buying is like hunting, right? It's like hunting. It's very serious. We go out and we find the best deals and all of that. I'm just thankful for her. But there's one gift that I have to give every year, and I don't know if it's because it's my role to purchase this gift or if it's very frustrating for her to do it. And that's the gift that I need to pick out for my mother and father. Like, what do you get them? What do they need? What do they even want? I mean, we really shouldn't be getting Dad as many chocolates as I've got him in the past and nuts, right? I mean, it's kind of the default. And sweater, how many sweaters can you get? And he doesn't wear very many ties anymore, and I'm very proud of him for that. And you know, so, now, what do you get? How do you get a gift? You want them to open the gift and kind of be surprised, be delighted. You don't want to go like 3 weeks later and see it sitting on the same counter where they put it after they opened it. I mean, that's part of the whole thing. You want it to be something incredibly special. You want to give a gift that transforms, that makes a change, that's going to be used. God knew the gift we needed. And this aspect of the gift, maybe the part that's the hardest to admit that we need it, that we don't know on a day-to-day basis, the right decisions to make, the right path to find, and the right pace to go. That we by nature are just like the Israelites. We're rather selfish. We're rather self-serving. We do want to pull things into ourselves instead of give things away. And really, if we look at it over history, the modern church may in fact have developed the same sense of entitlement and cloisterment that the Israelites have. Someone may be able to make a case that the church in fact has become a protector of the gospel and not a proclaimer of the gospel. That we may in fact see Jesus as ours instead of everyone's. And the joy of Christmas is the fact that we get to give. I got a gift this week that achieved every objective that any gift should. Somebody gave me a 1-hour massage. I was so thrilled. I could hardly go back to work. So if you're wondering, that'd be good. God knew exactly what you and I needed, friends. We needed an everlasting Father. Jesus has come to start something new, to initiate something that had been lost because of the selfishness of people, to bring about a sense of joy to this world that is not happiness, but it transcends that. You see, happiness is external. We try and achieve happiness by gathering to ourselves things that we feel as though are going to keep us at a bit of a homeostasis. We see happiness as something that we gather or that we accumulate. And we even try and accumulate people around us who kind of challenge us, but not really, because change is the thing that becomes very difficult. And God has said, no, when I'm sending you Jesus and I'm sending you this child who's coming, that because of my zeal will be in charge of everything and will give leadership to all things, his aspect of being an everlasting Father will be about leading you in new directions on a day-to-day basis. It's going to be about actually following him, because he's an initiator. He's a forebearer. He is the father type that is doing something new among you that God says, I want you to follow, because your joy is going to be in giving away and not receiving. Your joy is going to be internal. It's gut level. It's something like Kathy shared with us that our external circumstances can't affect. Just last night again, our time, or Sunday, Pakistani time, another bomb went off in a Christian church. Another group of believers gathering the week before Christmas Eve again find themselves in the midst of violence. Their answer? They will gather again next week. Why? Because of a depth of joy, an understanding of worship, a knowledge that Jesus, even in the midst of the mess, is here being their everlasting daddy. See, the word here in the Hebrew is the same word that we're going to see the Apostle Paul use later on in the New Testament when he comes to Romans in Romans chapter 8, and he says that the Lord didn't give you a spirit of fear. The Lord didn't give you a spirit of cowering. He didn't give you a spirit that makes you a slave. Rather, he gave you a spirit that brought about your adoption into sonship and daughtership. And here when we see everlasting father, the Hebrew word is Ab, English A-B. In the New Testament, we see a term of endearment being added, being added to it, that it's Abba, a bit of a daddy instead of a father. I think that shift that we see happening is because of Jesus. In the Old Testament, God was a bit far off. God was a bit above. And here when everlasting Father comes, the Ab, the daddy that we receive in Jesus, we receive the understanding that God is relating with us, engaging with us, alongside of us, in the midst of all that we're doing. He is a daddy that sits down with us when we're struggling, that cheers with us when we're happy, that's engaged with us when we're contemplating what the future would be, that speaks to us, that wants us to speak to him, that is always waiting for us when we have any needs. He is this relational father, this initiator, this forebearer that is constantly saying, come along with me. And then in the image of Jesus, he not only is inviting us to come, he's saying, I want you to be an inviter too, because as a father, I want you to have my attributes. As a father, I want to put all the behaviors that are good and beautiful that I have into you. As a father, I want you to know the joy of being part of people's lives changing from brokenness to wholeness. As a father, I want you to know the family legacy of redemption and restoration. As a father, God says to us through his son Jesus, I've come to you. I've initiated the relationship with you. I'm not afar off. I'm right next to you. As an everlasting father in the life of Jesus, he gives his own life to us. He lays himself down for our eternal safety. He reveals in the life of Jesus that there is nothing in all creation more important than humanity. What path are you and I on today? Are we following this initiator, Jesus, this decider, this one who reflects to us the character of our Father in heaven? What path are we on? Is it a path that is winding and struggling and strives to actually make ourselves comfortable, or is it a path that says, my arms are open, my hands are open, I am receiving from God the Father, and I want to give. There's no entitlement in me. Are we saying that I'm on a path that says it's not about me, it's not about
who is already in the church. It's about those who are not yet. It's about the children and the teenagers and the single moms, and it's about those who are struggling. It's about people in our own families that we've seen drift away from the church or feel as though the church has rejected them because they've gone through major bumps or struggles in their life. Are we able to say the path that I want to be on is the path that Jesus walked in Galilee? Where he prioritized the least and the lost. He prioritized those who were struggling to make sense of ancient Judaism and have it become a lifestyle that was joyful. Is it the groups of people that were on the other side of the Sea of Galilee who didn't even know that there was something called Yahweh or the God of the Hebrews? Are we on that path? As grandparents and parents and high school kids and college kids, are we leading people on that path? And are we going the pace of Jesus? I think it's really important here in this understanding of the everlasting Father that we understand pacing. Jesus was on this steady path to the cross, and as soon as he was born in Bethlehem and how he was born in obscurity and who he was born with, those who were not well accepted by the establishment, his pace was really clear and very consistent that he was moving to the cross because that was his calling. And he trusted the Father. He had faith in the Father that even though the death would be horrendous, the resurrection would be holy. And he continued on that path. Do we have that kind of focus on our path? And are we pacing it in such a way that we're moving clearly in the direction God has for us, but never too quickly to serve those who are beside us? There was always this sense of pacing with Jesus. Even when he said, I'm going to go raise Lazarus from the dead, and his disciples said, but Jesus, if you go to Bethany, they're going to kill you, but he had to go because it was the calling of the Father on his life. And he knew that his Father, the pace setter, the protector, the forebearer, would go with him. And he obeyed. And in his path and in his pace, he was an inviter, a redeemer. And friends, Jesus, the everlasting Father, brings about the redemption of the path of the Israelites to restore back to God's people the joyful role of being the image of hope and healing and joy. And the call is for us to go and do that. Because honestly, it's the greatest gift you can give. It's already been wrapped up in the seamless tunic of Jesus. The bow has already been placed on it. It's red. The tag has already been written. It's from you to whoever you encounter. And the contents change the direction of people's lives. Because Jesus is this starter of new things as a presence of the everlasting Father in our lives. You will never find more joy than when you give the gift of Jesus. Father, I pray that you would cause this to sink into our heart. I pray that we would hear from and sense and encounter this aspect of the personality of Jesus that you give us, this Father, this Director. I pray that we would obey when you point and you call. I ask that we would resist the kind of the human desire we have. Lord, I understand, Father, how the Israelites ended up the way they ended up. Boy, being named God's chosen people, that's a pretty good name tag to have on, Father, but I pray that we would understand what that means to be your son's church. And we would look into our hand and see this gift of the Christ child, of eternal life, of joy, of hopefulness in the midst of the chaos, and that we would give it away as quickly as we can to those that we encounter. Father, I lift my friends up to you, and I ask that you would truly call them to the path you've specifically designed for them, and give them, Father, the pacing in their life that is hopeful and healthy, fulfilling, really fulfilling, Father, that they know they're making progress in the direction you've called them, but not going so quickly that they don't see the people that you've called all of us to serve. Father, I praise you for your zeal. I praise you that you will not be thwarted and you will not be stopped. Lord, we don't understand when we see the tragedies around our globe. We struggle because of the spirit in us and the understanding of what is just and not just. We do wrestle with that, Lord, especially at this time of the year. But Father, I pray that your zeal would be revealed again in this day. And it would be revealed through us. That our passion for those who do not know your Son, our passion for those who do not have a place to live and enough to eat and proper parenting in their home, all of those things, Father, that there would be no judgment in us, that we wouldn't ask how people got there, that we would only ask, how do we help people move forward? Just like our everlasting Father. So, Lord, we're going to go and we're going to give the gift of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Thank you for the joy that we have, that we can give. Amen.